Okay, we are on the air. Here we go. First shot is sent in. Like this. This year is Shemitah. I do hope to give a shir completely focused on Shemitah and all the relevant halachas. There's one thing I want to focus on right now, which is the idea that Shemitah ends all the loans. Any loan that you may have lent to someone, Shemitah comes and ends that loan, whether you're in America or Israel. This is halacha, independent from where you live. It shuts off all the loans. What you need to do is write a prizbol. Prizbol is a special document which really gives over the loan to Beis Din, and therefore you have the ability to collect it after Shemitah. There's a machlokas when you have to write that prizbol. Should it be written the end of this year, or should it be written the end of next year? So it's a machlokas. So I just want to put out there that even though it's a machlokas, we paskin that you do not need to do it at the end of this year. It's one opinion that requires you to do it at the end of this year, but the majority opinions hold you do not need to. And therefore, you may find some people doing it. Don't get nervous. You do not need to do it. And therefore, all you need to do is write the prizbol at the end of next year before Rosh Hashanah, and then all of your loans will be collectible. Okay, a second shaila sent in by Simcha was, are you allowed to squeeze out frosting from a tube that may give it some shape, some decorative form on Shabbos? Is that like drawing? You're not allowed to draw. You're not allowed to make pictures on Shabbos. You're not allowed to change the forms of things. So by you squeezing the frosting out in a certain form, maybe that'll be a problem. But I discussed it with Rabbi Wiener, and he said like this: "Hello, Kenny, and what Kenny's wife? Welcome. We have like this: when you're squeezing out the frosting, so then you are not really making any real picture. If you were to really look like a flower or look like something, that may be a problem with drawing pictures on Shabbos. When you squeeze out the frosting and just looks nice, you didn't really make a picture." And therefore, that is no problem on Shabbos. You can squeeze out that frosting. And Shiloh number three sent in, when is the best time to daven ma'ariv? When's the best time? So whether you're a man or a woman, you want to daven ma'ariv, you want to daven the right time, here's the way it goes. Ma'ariv has two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Shmona Esrei, and then there's the mitzvah of Shema. Shema has to be said after the three stars are out. Say Sechel Chavim. That's when Shema must be said. Now, Ma'ariv, the Shemona Esrei, can be said any time from Plaga Mincha on. So it's really two separate mitzvahs. We put them together, but two separate mitzvahs, two separate zmanim. So Ma'ariv can be done from Plaga Mincha on, which is an hour and quarter before sunset. And Shema must be said from Tzeisach Chachamim on. And therefore, oh, Alex, this is questions for you. Alex, this is your question. When is the best time to daven ma'ariv? So what I'm explaining now is ma'ariv has two mitzvahs. There's Shema and Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei is from Plaga Mincha and on. Shema is from Tzeisach Chachamim and on. And therefore, in order to accomplish both, the best time would be from Tzeisach Chachamim and on. Now, if you want to daven early, that's fine for ma'ariv, and you can say Shema also with all the brachas, but you have to make sure you repeat Shema. If you don't want to have to repeat anything, so do it from Tzeisach Chachamim and on. Now, from Tzeisach Chachamim, you can go the whole night, really. You can theoretically say Shema daven the whole night until dawn. But you don't want to push it off.
There we go. Can't hear you yet. Unmute.
Sorry about that. Here we go. Okay, we're back. So Emmanuel, welcome. So we're discussing the best time to daven ma'ariv would be from Tzeisach Chachamim until Chatzos. You can theoretically do it the whole night, but again, we're trying to accommodate all the best opinions, and therefore, ideally from Tzeisach Chachamim, three stars, until Chatzos. Chatzos means halfway through the night, which is around 12:40 these days. One more thing is, there's a big fight when Tzeisach Chachamim is. Some say 13 minutes. Some say 20 minutes, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 50. You have a lot of different shitas. So again, ideally, you'd want to probably to accomplish both opinions. In America, you'd want to wait at least 40 minutes after sunset.
Just a second, I don't know if you want to talk to
you. You'd want to wait at least 25 minutes. after sunset. That would be Tzeis HaChacham, all opinions.
So what you usually wait 18 minutes after Shabbos?
I'm not talking about Shabbos right now, but it's connected. Meaning for Shabbos also, you definitely would want to wait at least 25 minutes, 30 minutes after sunset, at least. So same thing by Marv for Shema.
There's minyan before that.
There are minyan before that. And I'm explaining. You can daven Marv and you can say Shema anytime you want from Plagim and Chanon. But what's ideal is to do it after Tzeis. And within after Tzeis, you have many different opinions, whether it's 13 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So what some people do is they'll daven and then they won't make Havdalah for a little bit because Shabbos is Shabbos. So wait to make Havdalah.
Interesting. That first Marv after Shabbos is only taking out Shabbos and you're Yotzi Marv, but you're not Yotzi Kriya Shema?
So they're Yotzi Kriya Shema according to one opinion. That first Marv, which is 13 minutes or 20 minutes after sunset, is accomplishing one opinion in Shema, in Tzeis HaChacham. And that could be good enough, but if you want to, the longer you wait, the more opinions you'll be accommodating. And then ideally you would want to wait, I'm telling in Israel, at least 30 minutes, 35 minutes, at least after Tzeis HaChacham to accommodate all opinions. But if it doesn't work out for you, that's fine, and just say Shema later. But one more thing, if you went down at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, that's great. Just you're not allowed to eat or do anything until then, unless you set an alarm or have a set minion. Okay, so that is a wrap on Marv. Okay, for those just joining us.
Can I ask one question on that?
Yeah.
So I understand the original idea of giving the opportunity to say Marv as early as plug them in, because in some places you would not be able to gather a minion later on. So
it's true, but again, the only reason why it's a problem is not because of Marv, it's because of the Shema.
Right. Now, my question is then, if a Yachid is at home and he's sick, can I say I want to daven now early at Plagim Mincha, or is that only meant for
It's a good question. You can, because maybe you're sick, you're tired, you want to go to sleep, you want to stay in bed. It's fine. Just make sure you beat Shema.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's okay. The three shilas. Shilah number one is you do not need to write a prisbol this year, only at the end of next year. Shilah number two is you can squeeze frosting out of a container on Shabbos, even makes a nice picture because it doesn't really look like any real picture. And number three is ideally to daven Marv after Tzeis HaChacham, and then you will have accommodated Shema in a proper zman. Okay. Here we go. Now tonight's topic is Sukkah. So we're going to divide Sukkah into two parts this week and next week. This week we'll discuss the actual sukkah, building it and sitting in it. Next week we'll discuss the four species, the Dalaminim, the Lul, Asher, Gadasa, and Aravas. So here we go. As far as building the sukkah, hello Moshe. Moshe, we're starting the sukkah right now. So as far as building the sukkah, again, we're not going to do the nitty gritty because everyone's sukkah, based on the location, will have different questions. And we don't have Nachum here with all his 100 pictures in front of us, you know. So we're going to have to go with generic sukkah making, general rules. And these rules will apply to everyone. And the specific scenarios we can discuss based on the configuration of your sukkah. Rule number one is the walls must go up first and then the schach. Number two, make sure there are no trees or any other thing hovering over your schach. Now, if there are, ask a shaila. Some trees are okay. Some electrical lines are okay. Some air conditioning units are okay. It depends on the size and the positioning of it. But as a rule, check before you build your sukkah, look up and see the clearing. If you see the sunny skies, you're great. If you see some trees and wires, ask someone before you build it to make sure you're not getting into trouble. The sukkah that's built by women, ketanim, goyim, is kosher. Ideally, it should be built by a Jewish male above 13, but it's kosher. As long as it was built with the intention of giving shade, it's fine. It doesn't even have to be built for the mitzvah. As long as being built for shade, it's fine. We do not make a bracha when we build it. If you want to have a covering over the schach for rain, that's fine. You're allowed to put a covering over the schach and take it on and off. But you just make sure that when you're sitting there and eating, the covering is open. But when it's raining, you just want to cover it. Things don't get wet. You are allowed to spread like a tarp over the schach.
Yeah. You said that you don't make a bracha, but isn't there some Indian of saying l'shem sukkah?
You can. You don't have to. An Indian, perhaps, not a chiyuv. The sukkah is kosher. Even if you don't do it for sukkah, you do it just for the shade, that's good enough. That's what we pass in. On column, yeah.
You have to put up the stock, afterwards.
Right.
What about the beams that hold up the stock on top of the suckers?
Yeah. Right. It's not like that. The beams.
That itself is, so to say, kosher.
The beams, right. The beams can be put up at any time. No bracha for building the sukkah, because we're going to make a bracha when you actually do it, which is the best time to make that bracha. So yeah, it's a heksher mitzvah, but we don't make the bracha when you're just making the mitzvah, because we're going to be sitting in it, which is the ikar mitzvah. You're allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to destroy a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. So if you're like leaving that city, you don't need the sukkah anymore, you can't take it down. But you are allowed to build, it's not destroy. Then, if you need it, you can take it with you, right? If you want to take the sukkah with you, you need to go from point A to point B, then you can take it down and build it in point B. The minimum size of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tefachim. A tefach is around 8 to 9 centimeters. So it's around 60 by 60 centimeters. That is the minimum dimension of a sukkah. The height, the minimum height is 10 tefachim, which is around 80, 90 centimeters. That's the minimum height. So in that range is your minimum sukkah. When you're eating the sukkah, you have a table. The table must be inside the sukkah. You cannot sit in the sukkah and have the table outside the sukkah, because we're afraid you're going to go ahead and go where the table is and leave the sukkah and eat in the middle of the meal outside your sukkah. If you build your sukkah in like public property, it's not really nice, but it's still kosher. You see that by a lot of restaurants, where they build the rest, they build the sukkahs like on the sidewalk. Whether they have permission or not, we hope they do. But even if they don't, it's still a public thoroughfare and they're allowed to use it. And therefore it is kosher, whether they should have asked. Now, everything you put into your sukkah becomes designated for the sukkah, and you cannot take and use on Chol HaMoed or any other time. Decorations or anything that's being put in to beautify the sukkah becomes huksa. It's called huksa l'mitzvah, designated for the mitzvah of sukkahs, and therefore it cannot be used for anything else, which could cause problems. You may sometimes want to take something out. You decide that you don't want in the sukkah. So what I recommend, everyone says, before they hang up anything or before sukkah starts, I am not designating anything in the sukkah to be there. The law says I am not separating myself. Any baydil, I'm not separating myself, which means you can say this, I am not designating anything, and I reserve the right to use anything, anytime that I want. The whole sukkah, every time I want to use it, I could use it. And then you can. Otherwise, certain things may be stuck. It's a little bit tricky, but other things may be stuck and can only be used in the sukkah and must stay in the sukkah.
That's not chairs and tables and stuff, right?
Chairs and tables are a good question, Kenny. I didn't say that because it's debatable, but definitely it's worth saying this. So that, because chairs and sukkahs may not be considered beautifying the sukkah, designated for the sukkah, but others, it could help hold as a problem. And then just say this and you're safe. I'm not separating from anything the whole sukkahs. What is that?
If you take like a decoration falls and you put back up on
yes. everything? Ah, so very good. So Nachum is right. Therefore, nothing is muksa, nothing is designated. And therefore, when things fall down, even on Shabbos or Yantif, you are allowed to put it back up. If you do not do this, it's all muksa. You can't put it back up. Something that falls is muksa. You should say this either every time you put something in, or just easier, before you light candles. Make a sign before Yantif starts, before Shkia of Sukkot, just say, I'm not separating myself the whole sukkah from anything in the sukkah. It's all.
Can you say about every sukkah that you go to?
You can't. You have to be the owner. The owner is the one that has to do it, not a visitor.
It has to be
the owner. The owner of those things. Okay. Now, the wall, everything has a certain kedusha. You shouldn't step on things. If things fall, you shouldn't step on them. After yontif, you should treat them with kedusha. You shouldn't be trampled upon them. If you have a pergola, some sort of wooden frame, and you're allowed to put the schach on top of it. There are a lot of different details. Each frame may be different. So if you have such a thing, you should ask a shayla. But in most cases, there is a way of keeping the frame up and putting the schach on top of it. But it should be dealt with in a case-by-case situation. Now, the walls can be made of anything, even human beings. They can act as your walls. But the walls are allowed to be made from anything. They must be 10 tefachim high, like we said. They do not need to reach the schach. So if the schach is, let's say, 10 feet high, the walls do not need to be 10 feet high. All the walls need to be are 10 tefachim high. That's it. Once the walls are 10 tefachim high, we view it as if it goes up to the sky.
Use dead people?
You can use dead people, but it's probably not so geschmack.
How do you use a live person? Doesn't he move around?
You can use a live person. It's debatable. It's better that he doesn't know and like surprise him. Ha ha, you were just my sukkah. But the point is, even if he does know, it's okay. It comes up if you're traveling. If you're traveling, it may be useful. But yes, no dead people. It's just not nice. But live people are fine. But again, made anything and it must be 10 tefachim high. So that's that. Now the walls should not move in either direction 3 tefachim. So if you're using like a flimsy sheet or vinyl something, you must make sure it's taut, as tight as you can. That's why they have these lovely straps that go around it. But if it's moving, 3 tefachim is around 24 centimeters in either direction, it may be a problem. And therefore, you don't want that. Ideally, you want to have 4 full walls. B'dieved, 2 walls and a little bit is okay. But case by case, ask a shayla because that little bit may depend where it is. But again, aim to get 3 full walls. Better to have 4 full walls. And that is that. Okay, as far as the schach goes, the schach cannot be higher than 20 amos. Amos is around 1.5 feet. That means not higher than around 30 feet for the schach. It must be made from something which grows from the ground, and it cannot be makabel tuma, which is a whole discussion by itself. But in general, use anything which grew from the ground. What comes up, what's relevant are these mats. These rolled-out mats, if they were made to sleep on, which I heard in certain Oriental countries, they may sleep on them, that's a problem because then it was designated to be a kli, and it's makabel tuma. So you want the ones that would have a good hechsher, because then you know they were made for sukkahs, and they were not made to sleep on, and they're fine. You don't want them to smell, because then you go and leave your sukkah. The decorations, you want the decorations not to be hanging lower than 4 tefachim. Not lower than 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim is around 32 centimeters. You don't want them hanging lower than that. As long as they're within 32 centimeters, it's called batel, tuffel to the schach. If they're hanging lower than that, it becomes its own schach. And then you're sitting under pasul schach because the decorations are not kosher schach. And therefore, try to have decorations higher than 32 tefachim. And if they're lower, don't sit under it. So sometimes you have like the best, beautiful, most unbelievable decoration. You need to hang it, but it's hanging very low. Okay, just don't sit under it. Sit around it. You need to make sure there's more shade than sun in the sukkah. You can take the composite, everything together. As a general view of your sukkah, you have more shade than sun, that's fine. If you have a large area, 7x7 tefachim area, it's more sun than shade, better not to sit there. But if it's small little pockets, it's no problem. As long as there's no 3 tefachim of complete airspace. 3 tefachim, which is around 24 centimeters. If you have 24 centimeters of complete airspace, that's a problem. But as long as you don't have that, then it's fine. If you have real good pockets of airspace, like a 2 tefach, better not to sit under it, but the sukkah is still kosher. And as far as if you have pasul schach, so like an air conditioner, as long as it's a small amount, like less than 4 tefachim, 4 tefachim is around 32 centimeters, as long as it's less than that, you can even sit under it. So again, if you have 4 tefachim of schach pasul or more, it's no good. Less than 4 tefachim of schach pasul is kosher. You could even sit under it. 3 tefachim of airspace is no good. Less than 3 tefachim, it's kosher, but try not to sit under it. as long as it's like a tefach or more. If it's small pockets of air, you don't, that's fine. You can still sit under it. All right, now, you need that the schach is tied down. If the wind can blow away your schach, then it's not good, even if it's still there. You need to make sure that if a normal wind would come, your schach would not blow away. Otherwise, you have a problem. And you're allowed to tie it down with anything. There are people that are machmir, not to tie it down with certain things. I'm not one of them. You can have anything supporting your schach, whether it's metal under it, on top of it, whatever you're tying it down with, even synthetic stuff, it's fine. Tie down your sukkah and make sure it doesn't blow away. And you can have the schach resting on top of metal bars. It's fine. There are people that are machmir, but me'ikr then you don't need to be machmir for that. It is fine. Okay. Now, as far as that's constructing your sukkah, the wall is the schach. Now, as far as the actual sitting in the sukkah, so there's a mitzvah. The first night, no matter what, rain or shine, you must eat a beitza of bread in your sukkah. A beitza is around the size of two rugelach, two matchbox sizes. You must eat that in your sukkah, rain or shine. Now, if it's raining, try to wait it out. If you're starving or you have guests and you can't wait, go in the sukkah, make kiddush and have hamotzi in the sukkah during the rain without an umbrella. You make a shechianu, but you do not make leshei basukkah. If it's really raining, you do not make leshei basukkah, but you still make kiddush, shechianu in the sukkah, have hamotzi, beitza, bread, and then go inside, have the rest of the meal. If you can wait it out, and then make leshei basukkah in the sukkah. You should have in mind when you're eating the sukkah that we're eating the sukkah because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and we ate and we lived in sukkahs. And also the Anania covered the cloud of glory that protected us. So sukkah, we're supposed to have both of those things in mind. The cloud of glory, the Anania covered, and that we were in sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim. You should spend as much time as you can in the sukkah. There's no mitzvah to go run around town. Spend as much time in the sukkah. Every minute you're in the sukkah, it's another mitzvah. You're doing with your whole body. You should learn there if you can learn. Now, if you're going to learn better in shul, go to shul. If you can learn equally as good in shul or in the sukkah, then learn in the sukkah. But it will be better to learn in shul, then go learn in shul. Try to eat everything in the sukkah.
You just don't want to be hot, but you can still learn the same book. But you don't want to be hot.
If you are comfortable in the sukkah and you're able to learn well, learn. If you're not comfortable and you learn better, go to shul. Now, you should try to eat and drink everything in the sukkah, even cups of water, even fruits, everything try to eat in the sukkah. However, you are allowed to drink, eat fruits, eat meat, eat cheese, eat eggs outside the sukkah. What you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah is bread or mizonos larger than a beitza. That you're not allowed, a beitza like two rugelach sizes, two matchbox, that you're not allowed to eat out of the sukkah. Everything else you are allowed to eat out of the sukkah, but it's recommended not to. It's recommended to eat everything in the sukkah. You should sleep in the sukkah. Every sleep, whether it's a nap, whether it's the night, you should sleep in the sukkah. You should make your sukkah comfortable in a way that you don't mind sleeping in it. If husband and wife, they should sleep in the sukkah. If they're able to do it, they should have their own private sukkah. It's recommended. It's a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah. Get a blanket, get a fan, get air conditioning, get a heater. Make your sukkah geshmak that you should be able to sleep in there. If, however, it's cold and you can't make a geshmak and you're uncomfortable, then you're putter. But you should try to do everything you can. When it rains, if it's a slight drizzle, still sit in the sukkah. If it's a hard enough rain that's going to ruin the food, then you go inside. Once you go inside, you do not need to come back out if the rain stops. So if you're in the middle of sleeping and you went inside, or you're in the middle of eating and went inside, you can finish your sleep, finish the meal inside, even if it stopped raining, because that would be considered too much tircha, pain to have to come back out again. But the next meal, you have to come back out again, even if it's wet. Dry off everything, but if it's wet but not raining, you're still chayav to be in the sukkah. Women are putter from eating the sukkah. Ashkenazi women who eat in the sukkah make a bracha. Sephardi women who eat in the sukkah do not make a bracha. But they are potter, they can eat whatever they want outside the sukkah. You make leishei basukkah only when you're eating. So if you're going in just to sleep or just to schmooze and no eating, no bracha. If you're going in to sleep, I recommend first eat something, a mazonos or wash, and make the leishei basukkah on that, and then that covers everything. When you make havdalah in the sukkah, if all you're doing is havdalah and then you're leaving, so you do not make leishei basukkah. But what's recommended is make havdalah and have a mazonos there also, and then you make a leishei basukkah. That's the recommended thing to do. If you are in your sukkah, you made a bracha, and you go out for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and come back, no new bracha needed. So if you just run out to mincha and come back, no new bracha needed. But if you left a real leaving, you went inside, you went on a trip, and you come back, so then another bracha is needed if you eat more. If in the middle of your meal, you go to visit your friend, no new bracha. If you are in your sukkah and you're not, and you finish your meal, and then you go to your friend and you eat more by your friend, since you were not in the middle of your meal and you left your sukkah, you would make a bracha in his sukkah as long as you ate a mazonos in his sukkah. If you forgot to make a leishei basukkah and you remembered in the middle of your meal, make it then. But if you're done eating and you didn't make it yet, then you do not make it yet. You do not make the leishei basukkah. There is no chiv to hang the seven species in your sukkah. You are allowed to. People do it, and it's nice, but there's no chiv to do it.
What about plastic?
Plastic what? Ushpizin. Those are our guests. Was that the guests? We should invite the guests to every meal, by day or by night. Invite the guests. There's a lot of spooky, holy stuff with that. Do it. Invite Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and David, Yosef. Invite them all to your sukkah. There's different orders of how to invite them. They're all good. They'll all come whenever they're invited. Normally, Ashkenazis follow chronological order, and the Hasidim follow the more spherical, mystical order. But whatever you are is fine. And you do not need to... Oh, as far as eating the seven species, Josh is asking, as far as eating the Zayin, Min, and Mesukkah, the way it works is, if it's a mizonos or if it is bread, you have to eat Mesukkah. But if it's grapes or pomegranates or olives, you do not need to eat them in the sukkah. And that is a wrap on Hilchas Sukkah.
Wait, what about rice?
Okay, rice you do not need to eat in the sukkah. I recommend eating everything in the sukkah, even water, but you're not chayiv to.
If you forgot to
make a leishev and you're done eating anything that would require a leishev, then no leishev. So if you're done mizaynus and all that stuff is drinking, no leishev. Yes, Rich.
Fruits of Israel.
Fruits of Israel, you can eat them outside the sukkah. I recommend eating them in the sukkah, but you can eat them out of the sukkah. Eat everything in the sukkah that you can, but you're only obligated if it's a mizonos,
not or bread.
Mizonos or bread. Okay, that is Rav Hilchas Sukkah. Next week, we make some Dalim. Next week, by the way, the shiur will be Thursday night because Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday, Wednesday. So next week, the shiur will be Thursday night, Mitzvah Hashem. I will send out the link, Mitzvah Hashem, on Thursday. Okay, so now some topics, some bitachon. I want to go through this quick because I want to get to Rosh Hashanah in our remaining time. Bitachon, we've been discussing till now. The Chavis HaLevav has highlighted that Schar V'Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. And he gives a lot of reasons. But he says like this, whether it's mentioned or not, we must believe with our whole heart that there is reward and punishment in the next world that is integral to our emunah, that there is schar v'onesh, reward and punishment in the next world. And just because you're good, it's not a guarantee that you're going to get the next world. Hashem does so many good things for us. We have to be good for him. And it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be guaranteed Olam Haba. It's still a chesed that Hashem will give us Olam Haba. So we believe in it. We believe there is reward. We believe Kol Yisrael has a chelik in Olam Haba. It's true. But it's not because we're so good. It's because of the chesed that Hashem will do for us. So it's a combination. We do our good deeds, and we hope and daven that Hashem will give us the chesed to bring us into Eilam Haba. That's how the Chariz always explains it. In Tehillim, finishing the Davar Hashem Ayri, which we've been saying twice a day now for 24 days, the last pasuk in Davar Hashem Ayri is Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak Me'am Yisibacha, V'Kaveh El Hashem. There's a repeat of Kaveh El Hashem, which means have hope in Hashem, like you count on Hashem. Why is it repeated twice? He says, because the idea of having hope in Hashem is not like it's a one-time thing. It's like, I really want X, so I'm gonna hope in Hashem so I get X. It's actually the goal. The goal is, it's hard to maybe understand it, but our goal is to always, forever, for everything, rely on Hashem. And that is Chazak V'Ames Libecha. That will strengthen our heart. When we realize everything is up to Hashem, we're fully hopeful and dependent on Hashem, that strengthens our emunah. So that's the double lashon. Kaveh Hashem, Chazak V'Ames Libecha, Kaveh Hashem. We put all our eggs in one basket, right? As in general life, you don't want to do that. But not when it comes to our bitachon Hashem. All of our eggs are in one basket. Kaveh Hashem. And that itself will strengthen. Once we realize that, that will strengthen our emunah in Hashem. That everything in life, we are dependent on Hashem. This week's parasha is parasha in Tzavim. Let's give one var on the parasha. It says, towards the end of the parasha, it says, Lo bashamayim, pasuk yud beis, perek lam, pasuk yud beis. Lo bashamayim, it's not in Shemayim. And the next pasuk says, it's not across the seas. What are we talking about? Rashi learned he's going to Torah. Torah is not far away. It's not in Shemayim. It's not only across the seas. It's right here. We can learn it. The Ramban argues, and the Ramban says that it's going on tshuva, doing tshuva, repenting. It's not far away. It's not in Shemayim. It's not across the world. It's easy to do tshuva. That's what Ramban says. People think, oh my gosh, I'm so bad, I can't do tshuva. That's not true. You can do tshuva. I'm looking at many Bali tshuva now, actually, and it's so possible to do tshuva. Anyone who has done anything bad, no problem. Hashem loves you. Once you've done tshuva, you're back in. Lo bashamayim hi. It's not difficult to do tshuva. Just do it full-heartedly, but do it. Okay, we'll end off now with the thought in Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Aser Sinei Tshuva, right? We have 10 days of tshuva, Rosh Hashanah being the first two. What's fascinating is on Rosh Hashanah, we don't do tshuva. We don't say vidoy. We no confessing of averas. We don't say we've done anything bad. So how could Rosh Hashanah be the first 2 days of the 10 days of repentance when we're not repenting? It's really 8 days of repentance, not 10. But yet the Gemara says, and Psukim, there are 10 days of tshuva. What's up with that? So I'll tell you a great shot I heard, which is, in order to do tshuva, you have to recognize that there is Hashem. You have to recognize that you are subservient to someone else. I don't need to repent if I'm the boss, right? If I'm the boss, I don't need to repent to myself if I did something, if I let myself down. I don't need to repent. I'm the boss. You have to recognize you're not the boss. The first 2 days of Aser Sinei Tshuva is to recognize Hashem is the boss, Hashem is the king. What we're doing is coronating Hashem, accepting that Hashem is the king over us and the whole world. We blow the shofar, because at all good coronations of kings, they blow shofars. Okay, we're doing it because there's a mitzvah to do it. But another idea behind it is coronating the king. We are now accepting him as our ruler. And that's the first step of tshuva, right? I never went to any 12-step program, but anytime you have an addiction, you have to recognize your problem. In order to do tshuva, you have to recognize that there's an issue here. What's the issue? The issue is you're not the king. Hashem is the king. And that's the first 2 days. That's the first step in tshuva, recognizing that Hashem is the king and we're accepting him upon ourselves. We also have to realize on Rosh Hashanah, this is a heavy-duty day. Everything is being written down. If you look back over this past year, there was a lot of pain in the world, and especially amongst the Jews, a lot of suffering. You have Meron, you have Surfside, you have like so many other COVID. There's so much suffering that penetrated the Jews, the from community this year. It all was written down in Rosh Hashanah. Nothing just happened. It wasn't just, oh, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, it was on Rosh Hashanah it was decided. We say it when it's Sana Taikef. I mentioned this earlier. When it's Sana Taikef, we go in front of Hashem, Kibinei Maron, right? Literally, it means like sheep. But this year, I have a different meaning to it. Kibinei Maron, right? Like I mentioned earlier, it's like, whatever, it's a play on words, but that's what I'm going to be thinking about. Like, it was last year that Hashem decided there was going to be a major catastrophe in Meron. It happened on Rosh Hashanah. Everything, looking back, it didn't just happen. It wasn't that the building was negligent and that's why it collapsed. Like, that's also true. But on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decided who was going to be in that building, and we don't know why. So it's a day that we're coronating the king. We must recognize this king is awesome because everything that's going to happen in the year, it's happening, being written down now, everything. We can barely write down a shopping list. Hashem is writing down what's going to happen to the whole world on this day. Now we are allowed to and encouraged to make special requests, dive into Hashem, but you should also thank Hashem. Like we made it, at least with our heart so far, we made it. Thank you, Hashem. We survived, we're okay. And we have to thank Hashem for everything we have. We have air conditioning and we have our health and whatever else we have, we thank Hashem for. But also thank Hashem, or not thank Hashem, sorry, ask Hashem for whatever it is that you're lacking. You can make any request. And the last thing is we're diving for life, but it's got to be a life that Hashem's going to be proud of. Are we doing the right thing with our life? To go ahead and ask for another year, if we're wasting our time, that's like pretty silly. God, I'm asking you to give me another year to do something which that you don't want me to do. That's terrible. So we have to be sincere. We want another year, and we're going to hope to use it the way you want us to use it. All right, that's a wrap. We shall have a ksivach a gogo and shtiar. Amen Hashem next week, Thursday night, Hilchas Dalin Minim. Good night, good Shabbat.